Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. We're really excited because Cindy Paredes is back with us again. She was here a week ago talking with Jim Masters about what she does. She's an executive coach, and we are going to be dipping into this world of executive coaching, which has become such a big business for so many people. You know, growing up, if you didn't have a coach when you were much younger, I'm talking about 20 or 30 years ago before coaching became popular, you were really at a disadvantage. Today, if you're having a problem in your career, actually in your life or whatever aspect of your life, somewhere out there, there is a coach who can help you with your life. Sydney specializes in the business world. She's a highly experienced and masterful executive coach. She's the president of a firm known as Breakthrough Leadership, which is headquartered in Taylors Falls, Minnesota. It's a firm that helps leaders as well as their teams help identify and break through barriers that keep others from achieving their full potential. And she draws upon a broad leadership background that she has in Fortune 500 companies, her higher education, and of course her own life experiences and challenges to help her clients survive, and she does it really, really well. She is a certified integral coach. She holds the International Coaches Federation's professional coach credential, and she is also certified as a leadership embodiment coach and a positive intelligence coach. Some of those are credits I'm not really familiar with. I'm going to ask her. It certainly sounds fabulous. And anyway, see you back again to continue the discussion we had with her last week about this business of coaching and how she helps companies as well as their teams. So without further ado, let's bring her back on the mic with us. And her name again is Cindy Paredes. She's in Taylors Falls, Minnesota, where it's a beautiful day, I gathered today, but it's chilly. Is that right, Cindy?
Yeah, it is chilly, and we did have snow for Halloween, so there were a lot of coats over those costumes.
What a shame. Yeah, snow for Halloween. All righty. Did you get a lot of trick-or-treaters, by the way?
Well, we've been giving out full-size candy bars for 20 years, and we get a lot of trick-or-treaters. I mean, for our little town, 75 trick-or-treaters is a lot, so it was fun.
Well, good for you. Full-size candy bars, mm-hmm. not the little ones.
Yeah.
Full-size.
No.
You're very generous. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Let's talk a little bit. I know you had a great discussion last week. We're going to continue that and go into some other areas. But let me talk a little bit about helping to explain your career, your background before you got into coaching. Tell me a little bit about it so people can get an idea of where you're coming from. Okay.
Sure, thank you. I spent a little over 30 years working in the telecommunications industry, starting, as a part-time clerk filing papers in the employment office at Pacific Northwest Bell in Portland, Oregon, and ending up as director of leadership and organizational development, 30 years later in actually Jacksonville, Florida, at that time for AT&T Broadband. U.S. market, and I was hiring coaches. It was still a really new, profession, but I was hiring coaches as part of my role to work with our top executives. At that time, really, they were the only ones who got to have coaches, and I just knew in interacting with those folks that was going to be what I was going to do next, and so I retired after 30 years. I had already formed my company. I was in coach training at New Ventures West, one of the first, and I still think foremost coaching training organizations. And my former boss, a woman named Pat Weger, hired me right away to start coaching directors on her team, even while I was still in training. And so she basically gifted me an executive coaching business. It wasn't that easy to break into executive coaching, but here I was before I even finished my coach-specific training with six, you know, executive clients that I was traveling around coaching. And so I'm grateful to her, and I hope she's listening to hear that.
Well, you should
and
be grateful
to her. So
then
I was
her.
Off and running.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were. That's great. So describe for me breakthrough leadership. What do you do? What does your firm do? And is it how big is the firm, by the way? Is it just you or do you have...
Firm,
go ahead.
For most of the years, for most of the 23 years, it's just been me. But there have been times to time where I've partnered with other coaches and done programs, like for executive women. One of my friends and colleagues and partners, Karen Asnoyan, and I had for several years a year-long deep development program just for executive women where they came out and did retreats three times during the year and also had one-on-one coaching. And we worked on voice and authenticity and versatility and did work with equine-assisted coaching. It was an amazing program. Unfortunately, we launched it about 2008. Things sort of unraveled a lot of our regular clients at that time because of the economy crashing. We're pulling back on contracting with people outside their companies. So it was fun, but it didn't work quite as well. We didn't get quite as many clients at that time that we had hoped to get, but it was a wonderful experience. But mostly it's just been me with occasional partners with other coaches. So a very small solopreneurship, I guess, is how they refer to us.
Well, that's good. At least we know, you know, what your background is and where you're coming from. Tell me a little bit about, I mean, obviously you work with coaches, you're a highly trained coach. Who do you primarily work with? Is it mostly women or is it a variety? Do you work with men and women as well? I've often wondered about coaches, you know, whether they are more comfortable with, you know, is a woman more comfortable being coached by a woman or by a man, or really doesn't it matter? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think I like the model where clients choose their coach. And so I encourage, you know, my potential clients too to, you know, check in and have chats with more than one coach to find someone they're really comfortable for, because the relationship needs to be really open and trusting for both. And I coach both men and women as an executive coach. I mean, when I started 23 years ago, there's still a very small percentage of people in the higher level positions who were women. So I've probably coached about half and half through my career. I really have a lot of passion for coaching women because I just have a personal belief that more gender diversity, more diversity of all kinds, but gender diversity to start with in top leadership teams, I think is one of the answers to many of the issues and problems that we all face and the world faces. So I really love to help lift women up in that way so that there can be a better balance, if you will, on leadership teams so that all of those perspectives can get to the table. And really another, there's a lot of data in recent years that when you do have more diversity, gender and otherwise on top teams, that results improve, that companies do better. So it's smart.
And I agree.
So
I agree.
Yeah, in that way. So I coach often that sort of senior director, vice president level person who's caught with pressure from the people on their team and pressure from above. They're kind of caught in the middle of that, pressure from below, pressure from above. And that's where I spent a lot of my leadership career, so I'm very familiar with the challenges. And I also coach people who own their own business or who may be CEOs of smaller companies, and that's been fun too.
You know, it's interesting of what gets people to, inspires them to actually reach out to a coach. Sometimes you might think it's difficult to admit that you want help. But talk to me a little bit about the kind of situations most of the people you coach are in. As you pointed out, you know, you were coaching women who are caught between, you know, pressure from above and below, and they know they need help. Is that right? And then they get brave enough to pick up a phone and call someone like you and say, "Hey, I need help." What happens when they come to see you? How do you begin?
We begin not too differently than you and I are beginning right now. We get to know each other a bit, make sure that we think we can work together, and that's talk about how the coaching process works. And if we decide, once we decide to move ahead, and sometimes a company is hiring me to coach someone in their organization, one of their leaders, sometimes the person is given choice of coaches. Sometimes, you know, I'm offered up, this is the coach we hired for you. I always tell them, if you don't feel comfortable, if you don't think this will work, if you don't want me as your coach, then I'll lobby for you to get a different coach, because I think it's really important. And then there's a lot of information gathering in the beginning once we decide to move ahead, because I want to get to know the person, the whole person. That's kind of what integral and integral coaching means, is we don't leave things out. We work with the whole person, and I think of that as intellectual, emotional, and physical. We don't leave out the body as an integral coach. I include the body in coaching, which isn't that typical in coaching methodologies. So
let me ask you a question.
Really clear. I help. Okay.
I have a question for you. How does someone respond when the company, the executive of the company, comes to them, the individual, and say, "Listen, we're hiring a coach for you, and you have a here's your choice of coach to go to, or coaches."
Yeah.
How have you found that they respond to that? Does that make them very nervous?
Yeah.
Thinking, "Uh-oh, they want me to get some coaching here."
Yeah.
How about that?
I'm happy to say that's changed a lot. I would say 20 years ago when that happened, then the person was, "Oh, something's wrong." Their survival brain might trigger. It might take longer to actually get relaxed into a process once they understood that it was 100% confidential. I have never revealed what happens in coaching to anyone who asks. And so there have been a few clients where they were just too on guard and it didn't work very well. But for the most part, it just takes a little longer. And that was true years ago. Now coaching is often seen as a perk, a benefit.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
But that isn't how it was, you know, when I began executive coaching. But it's rare now that I'm working. I tend to work with successful leaders who maybe there's an area they want to tweak, or they're being considered for a promotion or a bigger responsibility, or they do employee surveys and there's one area where their scores are a little bit low, but they tend to be valued and successful. So coaching is seen as a good thing. Event, you know, which is way more fun for me.
Boy, I can appreciate that and understand that. Let me ask you how you go about helping to coach someone who is in an executive position. I mean, they're not the CEO, but they, you know, could be a vice president or whatever, and they're coming to you to get help. How do you go about helping someone who already is a leader in their business, in their company? Do they know where they need help when they come to see
you?
Yes, they do.
Yes,
good.
The way I approach it, though, is I help them create really clear coaching goals. It's the first step and the most important step. And they're their goals. I mean, I write them based on I do an interview, and then I write the goals, tweak these, which is important, what's missing, what do you really want to have be different at the end of the day when we're having coffee 6 months from now. what will you point to that has shifted, that has opened possibilities for you or changed your life in a really positive way or allowed you to be a more effective leader? What is it you want that you don't currently have? And it's a combination of internal experience. It might be, I want to feel more comfortable when I'm presenting to the executive team, or it could be external where I really find a way to get my team to perform at a higher level and our results improve. And instead of being bottom in the company on this industry, I want to be, at the top. It's very different for every single person. And there are patterns, like for women leaders, it would be more common than for men leaders for they often have just more that they're responsible for. They have, they have to pick the kids up more often than maybe the man leader does, and they have more work-life balance issues that they want help with. And so we get really clear, what is it that you want to have shifted? What is it that you want to have different? And then find ways to measure so that at the end of the coaching, we can evaluate how, to what extent they reach the goal and even stop as we go through and say, is this still the right goal? Do we want to shift the goal? And at a minimum, I might say, well, okay, on this specific goal, so maybe the goal is you want to be more effective in delegating to people, because it's often true that leaders, once promoted, they may be promoted for actually doing the work or more tactical day-to-day work, and then as the leader of the team, they're still doing the work. That's what helped them succeed, and they're struggling with shifting into a more strategic or team leader role or coach role or whatever's needed. And so then it's like, how will you know that you've succeeded? How will you know you're more effective? And we create measurements, whether it's feedback from other people or at a base level, it's on a scale of 1 to 10, what number do you give yourself right now at the beginning of coaching of where you are on this? And then we touch base every month or so and say, well, now what number would you give yourself and why? What evidence are you pointing to? So that's key throughout the entire coaching program, because I design the program to the goals based on my assessment of what's going to help that leader reach those goals. Every coaching program is different.
Let me ask you another question. When you meet someone and they're a client and you begin to learn about them, you hear them talk and you hear their stories, do you get some instincts yourself right then and there of where they may need help in their career?
Yes, and I'm often trying to keep myself from jumping to some sort of prescriptive solution, because doing that can get in the way of me really sensing who this person is in their wonderful complexity, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be prescriptive. I want to be impacted by my client. I want to learn from my client. I want to see my client and feel my client so that I can help them maybe see what they haven't been able to see before in terms of their potential and their gifts. And so, I do that first interview to gather info and then to set goals. And sometimes the goals don't look like what they might have expected at all. They're just like, whoa, this isn't what, but wow, it's like, how did you get that? And that's when I think that I'm actually serving my clients well, is when I come back and say, this is what I'm seeing and hearing you say you'd like to have be different. It's often deeper and wider than they might have expected, or working on some thread that's going to help them in multiple areas. And I do see that more easily than they do.
What do you think are the biggest obstacles people face in trying to become successful? About that?
Ourselves. We are our biggest obstacle. I mean,
that's interesting.
We get in our own way, then I'm speaking for myself. When we feel threatened, even if we're not consciously aware that we're feeling threatened, that fear triggers a defensive response in our brain. You know, you probably heard the amygdala and the survival brain, and there's this automatic reactive patterns that take over when that happens that are well-practiced defensive behaviors and mechanisms that we developed, who knows, a combination of nature and nurture, but often when we were children even, that when I feel pressured, I might just placate and keep the peace no matter what. When you feel pressured, maybe you get, you know, blame someone else and get kind of defensive in a more physical out, you know, start yelling or something. We all have different patterns that don't really serve us very well if we're triggered in our survival brain. The research shows that we're disconnected up to maybe 80% from our sources of knowledge and intelligence and wisdom and intuition and all of those things that reside in different parts of our brain. So, and it happens all day long. My first interview last week, my internet went down 10 minutes before the interview, and we use Wi-Fi calling here because the service isn't that good at our house. Oh, man, I was really triggered, right? It's like 10 minutes I have this interview, and my Wi-Fi's not working, and I call my husband, you know. And so that happens all the time, and it could be tiny things. Like I walk down the hall at work. I pass my boss. I smile at my boss. My boss doesn't smile back.
Right.
And my amygdala triggers. It could be really small things because back in our evolution, getting kicked out of the tribe meant death. I mean, you know, so these things are at a subconscious level. So the good news is that there are simple practices that allow us to shift out of that, back into our, come back to ourselves, get back to our center. That's Wendy Palmer language. Shirzad Shamin developed a wonderful program, Positive Intelligence, where he calls it getting back to my sage. You know, you could think,
right,
think of it as, well, Darth Vader has me, or I need to get back to my Jedi, you know. And so these simple practices, I always start with that in coaching nowadays because I haven't found one client that doesn't benefit from it. So I either offer them some practices and they start doing them so they can build this capacity to shift back when they're triggered, or we find that they already have developed it somewhere, but they just didn't know they could tap into it anytime they needed it. For example, every summer I do a workshop for college theater artists that come to our little town there's a summer intern program at our local professional theater, St. Croix Festival Theater. And so I do a leadership workshop for these college, you know, students. And in the beginning, I didn't think I would be able to help them because I like to do the centering leadership, you know, lead from center work.
Right.
And because I'm like, they're performers, so they know how to do this, right? Well, they all do have some sort of practice to get centered before they walk out onto stage, right? However, to this day, not one of them realized they could do that other places and other times in their life, like when they're having a fight with their significant other or something went wrong at work or they're getting notes from their director and they're triggered by it, right? I can do that then? And I said, yes, you can. So when you have these practices, anything you've practiced that required real attentiveness and breath and, you know, sort of upright posture, but relaxing your body, I mean, coming back to yourself. And it could be a gratitude practice. It could be the way you do your prayers, if you do prayers. So I teach my clients how to do that in a way that will actually build these new neural pathways, which we know from MRI studies. When you command your mind to focus on sensation, for a minute and 2 minutes, and you do that throughout the day, that you build new neural pathways so that it's easier next time for you to shift, or you can shift with greater stressors or more quickly. And in fact, I made a 1 minute video of a combination of centering practice from Wendy Palmer's leadership embodiment work and a little bit of a positive intelligence practice, which is just rubbing two fingers together with attention, such attention you can feel the ridges on your fingertips. That's an example of commanding your mind to focus on sensation. So I have that 1 minute video for anybody who wants it. They just have to go to my website and click on the red box that says free 1 minute centering practice. Promise I'm not going to overwhelm you with, you know, I might send you a couple of emails in a year, maybe once a quarter, and you can unsubscribe, but you do have to kind of give me your email address for me to send you the centering practice and the documentation. But it can make such a difference if you don't already do this.
I think that's great. Let me give you a website, by the way, if anybody wants to get the benefit of your help. It's breakthroughleader.com, and through is THRU, so it's short, breakthrough, THRU, leader.com. Very simple. You can remember breakthroughleader.com. Yeah. That'll put you in direct contact with Sydney and learn more about her background, but more importantly, you know, how to get in touch with her if you're interested in her help. What would you say is a typical outcome of your client's experience after working with you as their coach? How would you answer that?
Well, I define success in coaching that the client got what they wanted from the coaching. That's 100% how I define success. They met their coaching goals, right? So the typical outcomes are those goals getting met. So that it would be things like I speak up with more clarity and precision, especially when I'm under pressure, right? And I can do it in a way that stays connected with people. So I can take a stand when I need to, but I can do it in a way that's clear and precise and powerful and still stay connected to people, not cut them off. Or my relationships improve, both at work and in my home life. I have a better sources of energy that I've been able to maintain because I've changed practices in my life. I'm more effective in giving presentations, especially to large groups, which was, I have a recent client that was her goal. She was holding herself back from promotions because she didn't want to have to present to big groups because she would get so nervous. And so what was happening is before she'd even start, she would get emotionally hijacked, right? Her survival brain took over, and so she wasn't effective. And so guess what we worked on? Simple practices. Begin preparation.
I would assume a lot of renewed confidence in themselves.
Yes, oh yes, definitely. Right? And leadership presence is a big one because I work, emotionally, intellectually, and physically. So leadership presence, the way I work with it, comes from Wendy Palmer's work, is really an energetic competency. It's when I walk in the room, if I'm centered and I extend my centered energy into that room before I ever open my mouth, people have a felt sense that we're in this together.
Sydney, we have run out of time. Listen, this has been great chatting with you. I could talk with you for another hour. But let me just point out again, we've been talking with Sydney Parides. Her website to get in contact with her and learn more about what she does is breakthroughleader.com. And through is simply THRU. Thank you so much for your time, my dear. It's been great chatting with you. And, I can tell you're a great coach. You're just really great. People obviously benefit from you. All righty. Have
Thank
a great
you
day.
So
Thank
much.
You, ma'am. You're welcome.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and I'll see you next time. Till then, take care. Bye for now.